Good morning and welcome to Simply Startups. It's Wednesday, April 24th. On today's show, open source intelligence tech startups in 2024, and Baltimore Peninsula offers free rent for a year to attract startups. Plus, Nagomi Security secures $23 million in Series A funding for their proactive defense platform. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Startups. We start off with a look at the growing field of open source intelligence, or OSINT. OSINT is becoming an increasingly important tool for businesses and organizations to gather publicly available data and gain actionable insights. The rise of OSINT can be attributed to the massive growth in digital data that is freely accessible. Here to tell us more about the OSINT market and some innovative startups in this space is our technology correspondent. So what exactly is OSINT used for these days?
OSINT has a wide range of applications, David. It's used for threat detection, allowing organizations to monitor online activities for potential security risks. Market researchers leverage OSINT to gather valuable insights about consumers and competitors. Even investigative journalists use it to uncover hidden stories by scouring public records. The demand for OSINT is expected to skyrocket in the coming years.
That's fascinating. Can you give us some specific numbers on the projected growth of the OSINT market?
Absolutely. According to Rupchand Kawade, a business analyst at Dimension Market Research, the OSINT market is poised to grow from $8.3 billion in 2024 to a staggering $64.99 billion by 2033. That represents an annual growth rate of 25.6%. This explosive growth is driven by the need for enhanced cybersecurity measures, more efficient data management, and strategic insights across various sectors.
With such high demand, there must be some innovative startups making waves in the OSINT space. Who are some of the key players to watch?
There are several startups leveraging OSINT in exciting ways. OSINT Industries offers a real-time automation platform for email and phone numbers, which is particularly useful for background checks and investigations into crime and counterterrorism. They even provide free access to government and law enforcement agencies to promote public safety. Another startup, Filigran, has an extended threat management suite that integrates threat intelligence, adversary simulation, and cyber risk management. Over 4,200 organizations already use their platform.
It sounds like these startups are really pushing the boundaries of what's possible with OSINT. Are there any others that stand out?
Definitely. Feedly for Threat Intelligence is another notable player. They use AI-enhanced tools to help cybersecurity teams monitor and analyze open-source intelligence in real time. Major companies like Cloudflare and Airbus rely on Feedly for comprehensive digital threat surveillance. There's also CrimeWall by SocialLynx, an OSINT investigation platform that automates data extraction from over 500 sources and provides powerful visualization tools. Lastly, Fivecast delivers top-tier OSINT solutions tailored for sectors like national security and corporate security, handling vast data collections from the web.
It's clear that OSINT is becoming an indispensable tool for organizations across the board. As the amount of publicly available data continues to grow exponentially, the demand for sophisticated OSINT solutions will only intensify. Thank you for this enlightening overview of the OSINT landscape. Speaking of opportunities for startups, a major real estate developer in Baltimore is offering an enticing deal to startups looking to relocate to the city's newly rebranded Baltimore Peninsula neighborhood. Marianne Gilmartin, CEO of MAG Partners, announced the innovation exclusive powered by Upsurge at Baltimore Peninsula program at a recent event. For more details, we turn to our Simply Startups correspondent. What can you tell us about this new incentive program?
This is a significant opportunity for startups considering a move to Baltimore. Under the program, companies that commit to a five-year lease in Baltimore Peninsula can get 1 year of that term completely rent-free. Gilmartin emphasized this is a turnkey solution, meaning startups won't have to worry about construction costs or other real estate headaches. The goal is to make it as easy as possible for them to set up shop in the burgeoning innovation district.
That does sound like a compelling offer, especially for cash-strapped startups. But are there any catches or limitations to be aware of?
Well, Gilmartin did say that interested companies will need to demonstrate they have a viable business that can handle the rent payments after that initial free year. She hasn't put any restrictions around specific industries, though. One important thing to note is that Gilmartin is offering a fixed rental rate for the full term. So even if the Baltimore Peninsula area becomes more desirable and property values rise, startups in this program will be insulated from those increases. That could mean major cost savings in the long run.
You mentioned the Baltimore Peninsula neighborhood, which some listeners may know by its old name of Port Covington. This area has been undergoing a lot of changes lately, right? What's the latest there?
That's right. The rebranding to Baltimore Peninsula happened just last year, but the evolution of this area has been underway for a while now. It's already home to entrepreneurial hubs like Betamore and Launchport. The biggest catalyst on the horizon is the new Under Armour headquarters campus, which is set to open in December. Gilmartin and other stakeholders believe this will make Baltimore Peninsula an even hotter destination. In her words, this space will never be more attractive than before. Kevin Plank opens his giant innovation lab called Under Armour. So she sees this startup incentive program as a way to help companies get in on the ground floor before demand and prices potentially rise.
It certainly seems like all the pieces are coming together for Baltimore Peninsula to become a major startup hub. Beyond the real estate perks, what other benefits might companies gain by moving into this innovation community?
Gilmartin highlighted the value of being part of the Upsurge Baltimore ecosystem, which is an organization working to support and connect the local startup scene. She views Upsurge's endorsement as a stamp of approval and wants to build a tenant base of the high-caliber companies in its network. The idea is that by clustering these startups and entrepreneurs together in one neighborhood, it will lead to really meaningful collaborations and innovations. So along with the financial incentive, Gilmartin is really selling the potential for serendipitous collisions and knowledge sharing that can happen when you put a bunch of talented founders in close proximity.
For startup founders or business owners interested in learning more about the Innovation Exclusive Program, please visit our website for details. Moving on to cybersecurity news, a new startup called Nagomi Security has raised $23 million in Series A funding to help organizations better defend against cyber threats. The company's proactive defense platform aims to maximize the effectiveness of existing security tools and provide actionable plans to reduce risk exposure. For more, we're joined by our startups correspondent, James. So what exactly does Nagomi's platform do, and why is it needed?
Nagomi's platform is tackling a major problem in cybersecurity today: the fact that over 80% of data breaches occur at organizations that already had a security tool in place that should have prevented it. This shows that many companies are struggling to effectively utilize their security stack against real-world threats. What Nagomi does is map out threats like ransomware, phishing, and other techniques being used in the wild. It then analyzes a company's current defenses to show their level of protection and provides a prescriptive plan of action to improve their security posture using the tools they already have. The goal is to help security teams prioritize the most critical risks based on their organization's unique threat profile.
And Nagomi seems to be gaining traction quickly since launching just this year, right? What do we know about their growth so far?
Yes, the company has had an impressive trajectory in a short time. Nagomi was founded in early 2023 by a team of cybersecurity veterans. They raised an unannounced $7 million seed round led by Team 8, then launched their platform just 6 months later. And while still in stealth mode, Nagomi managed to cross $1 million in annual recurring revenue and land several notable customers like IFF, HFW, and Well Health Technologies. This rapid early growth and ability to win big-name clients right out of the gate likely gave investors confidence to pour more fuel on the fire with this sizable $23 million Series A round.
What do you make of the investors backing Nagomi in this round? It seems to be a mix of top-tier VCs and major players in the cybersecurity industry.
Absolutely. It's a very strong signal when you have both highly regarded venture firms and strategic investors from the cybersecurity space putting their weight behind a startup. The Series A was led by TCV, which is known for its investments in tech giants like Netflix, Airbnb, and Spotify. Nagomi's seed investor Team8 also participated. They're a firm that both funds and helps build cybersecurity startups. With a leadership team that includes the former commander of Israel's elite 8200 intelligence unit. On top of that, having CrowdStrike and Okta invest is a big vote of confidence from two of the leading public cybersecurity companies. It shows they see the value and differentiation in what Nagomi is building.
With this new funding and backing, what's next for Nagomi as they look to scale their business and product?
Growing the team and expanding their go-to-market efforts will likely be key focus areas. Nagomi has already brought on some heavy hitters to help drive this, like Nathan Burke joining as Chief Marketing Officer from Axonius, where he served as CMO for 6 years, and Joseph Hoban coming on as VP of Sales, also from Axonius. We'll see if they can replicate some of Axonius's success. That company has grown into a cybersecurity unicorn valued at nearly $3 billion. On the product side, expect Nagomi to keep expanding their platform's capabilities to map more emerging threats and provide richer insights to help security teams take a more proactive, defensive approach. With the cost of data breaches continuing to rise, there's clearly a large market need for solutions that can help organizations better leverage their existing investments to improve their cyber resilience.
Thanks for the insights on that interesting startup to watch, James. Speaking of startups to watch, a new company called Trace is aiming to make it easier for companies to create augmented reality experiences. The company was founded by three former Magic Leap employees who saw an opportunity to simplify the process of making AI content. Here with more details is our Simply Startups correspondent. So what exactly does Trace offer that makes creating AR experiences easier?
Trace has built what they call a creator app that allows companies to easily add augmented reality elements to real-world spaces without needing teams of experts in development and 3D art. The Trace CEO likens it to a Squarespace for AR experiences. Once the digital content is created through their app, users can then access it either through Trace's own app or simply through a web browser.
Interesting. And Trace is a much smaller operation than Magic Leap, correct? What kind of funding and traction have they gotten so far?
Yes, Trace is operating on a much more modest scale than Magic Leap at this point. Magic Leap has raised over $4 billion in funding, while Trace is just announcing a $2 million pre-seed round. However, they've already partnered with some major players like Qualcomm, Telefonica, T-Mobile, and Lenovo to create AR experiences. For example, they built an AR experience for Deutsche Telekom at Mobile World Congress this year.
What's the business model for Trace? Are they targeting consumers or enterprise customers with their platform?
While the AR experiences Trace enables are consumer-facing, the company is very much focused on serving enterprise clients at this stage. The Trace CEO says they see more immediate opportunity in the enterprise space. So their creator app, which has been in private beta, will be offered to companies as a subscription service when it fully launches to the public in the coming months.
That certainly seems to align with the enterprise focus that Magic Leap ultimately pivoted to after initially generating a lot of consumer hype. Do you think Trace has the potential to make AR more accessible and widespread?
It's still very early days for Trace and for the AR ecosystem as a whole. But by providing a simplified, template-driven way to create and distribute AR content, they could lower the barriers for many companies looking to experiment with this technology. Of course, having compelling use cases and experiences that resonate with users will still be key. But Trace aims to at least handle more of the heavy lifting on the technical side.
It will be interesting to see if Trace's platform gains traction and who else enters this space as AR continues to evolve. Thank you for the report and analysis. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Startups. We'll see you back here tomorrow.